Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Great to see you. Welcome to March, as we've said before. And if we've never met before, I always want to introduce myself. My name is Luke. I'm on our pastoral team. You know, there's different people up here from time to time, and that's by design. We enjoy listening to different voices. So next week, for example, you're going to hear from Rebecca, but I'm sharing this week. And we're beginning this week, actually, a new series. Last month, we were in a series called This Is Our Church, and today we're beginning a new series called Splinters. As you came in and on your seat, you might have found one of these guides. We're going to talk about these in a little bit, but our series Splinters moves into the season of Lent as we look towards Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. But allow me to begin by reading the text that we're going to consider throughout the whole season of Lent. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, says this. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and alive to what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. So we don't all grow up going to church, but I did. And it was one of those churches that liked to put on big plays at Christmas and at Easter. And so at Christmas, there were always wise men and a Mary and a Joseph. And there were shepherds with live goats, which always seemed like they were more trouble than they were worth. And there was always a supposedly newborn baby Jesus, who looked like he weighed about 18 pounds. And I imagine now that all the mothers in the audience must have been squirming at their seats at the sight of him. At Easter, there was always a John the Baptist and a Judas and a Pontius Pilate with muscles. And there were Roman soldiers with dust brushes glued to the tops of their helmets. And to top it off, there was always a Jesus. And the Jesus tend to be about 6 feet tall, with shoulder-length chestnut brown hair and a dashing smile, because the director must have been sure that Jesus should be easy on the eyes. I was fascinated by all of it, the drama and the spectacle, and seeing what animal might relieve itself on stage that year. It was great. But one year was special, because I was going to be in the play myself. I was cast as an extra in the crowd and was more than ready to dazzle the audience. And I think that I probably stood out because as a child I had this bright white blonde hair, and I must have looked like some strange Scandinavian boy who turned up in ancient Judea just before Holy Week. And so in my little burlap tunic, I was ready to shine, but it wasn't to be. A few days before opening night, I began to feel itchy, and not long after that, little red bumps started to pop up all over my body. So Scandinavian boy in the crowd had the chicken pox, and on opening night, I sat disappointingly in an oatmeal bath. Thank you for that. So no Judas, no muscly Pontius Pilate, or handsome Jesus, or animal droppings for me. I missed out on the whole thing. Missing out on Holy Week, on Good Friday, Easter Sunday, has become increasingly common for many of us. We don't usually miss out on Christmas, because Christmas has been adopted by the advertisers. And it might be commercialized, but the messages of peace and joy still sneak in under the radar, maybe a little bit like the Christ child snuck in under Herod's nose that first Christmas. But Holy Week hasn't had the same success, unless you count Easter egg hunts and a long weekend that many of us use to do the same kinds of things that we do on any other long weekend. For whatever reason, Holy Week just isn't on the radar until it's on top of us. And I confess that I've always liked Christmas more than Easter weekend for a number of reasons. And one of them is that I think that I'm just more comfortable with Christmas Eve than I am with Good Friday. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, is easier to sing than to the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. I'm okay with picking up the baby in the straw. I'm less interested in helping to carry a splintery cross. I like the idea of an infant gently cooing in the cradle, and I'm unsettled by the sound of a man groaning in agony under a whip. So I think part of my unease with Good Friday and Easter Sunday is actually the story itself, a story that upends my usually quiet, sanitized world. What am I supposed to do with a cross and a vacant tomb in a society that avoids conversations about mortality and grief like the plague? When everyone's telling me that I should be living my best life, what do I do with Christ's challenge to let go of my life in order to truly find it? Jesus forgave the very men nailing him to his cross. How open am I to excavating the unforgiveness that I've buried 6 feet down, or maybe just below the surface? Good Friday and Easter Sunday is a story still that goes against our grains. And I'm sure that I'll never be entirely at ease with Holy Week, and it's probably not the point anyway. But in recent years, I've tried paying a little more attention, or at least not turning away. Unsightly as it is, I've tried really looking at the cross, sticking my nose into the empty tomb. It's not been easy, but it has been healing. And by sitting in the story, I've found that Good Friday and Easter Sunday is growing on me and growing me. Holy Week is where the rubber really meets the road for Christians. Comfortable with it or not, this is our story. It's a story about passionate love and sorrow. It's a story about anguish and sacrifice. It's a story about bewilderment and joy. And it's a story which flipped the world upside down. So why would we expect to be unmoved by it today? Stories are told to be heard and to change us. And the story of Good Friday and Easter Sunday changes us deeply if we listen. But how do we listen? How do we hear this unsettling story and let God change us when there are so many other competing stories for our attention? So much noise pollution and clutter. I think one answer to that question can be found quite simply in the season that we call Lent. The story goes that a young doctor had just opened office and felt really excited, and his secretary told him that a man was here to see him. And so the young doctor told the secretary to send the man in, and pretending to be a very busy doctor, he picked up the phone just as the man came in. Yes, that's right. The fee is $200. Yes, I'll expect you at 10 past 2. All right, no later. Yes, I'm very busy, you know. And he hung up and turned around to the man waiting. May I help you? Asked the doctor. No, said the man. I'm just here to install the phone. You could say that at Lent, we stop pretending. We stop pretending that we're too busy for God. Roughly translated, Lent simply means 40, and it's the season that leads up to Easter. It's based on Jesus' 40 days of prayer and preparation in the wilderness that we read about in some of the Gospels. And as we prepare for Christmas with the season of Advent, we prepare for Easter with the season of Lent. At Lent, we're given the chance of turning our attention to God as we anticipate the story that we're going to hear at Holy Week. But more than anticipation, Lent is about heart work. Not hard work. We don't earn anything in the season of Lent. We don't prove anything in the season of Lent, but heart work. In Lent, we're asking God to lovingly refine us. We're making room for God to work out the splinters in our hearts. We're giving God the time and the space to mend, to restore, and to speak. Lent is about facing what is true and unsettling in a life of faith. It's about admitting our failure and struggles and taking off our masks, which, as one writer puts it, are often eating into our faces. Lent is about hearing and owning that when we are weak, God's strength comes through. Like Jesus in the wilderness then, at Lent we're going into desolate spaces, we could say. Spaces free from noise and distraction. Spaces that evoke a dependence on God. And it's been said that at Lent we put something down in order to pick something up. Perhaps putting down our phones in order to read scripture, or missing a meal in order to pray. The choices are up to us. Of course, when we think about putting something down in order to pick something up, we might also think of Jesus' words, "Take up your cross and follow me." So Lent is also a time of recommitting ourselves, of giving ourselves over again to Christ. If we've somehow loosened our grip on the cross, let some distance grow between ourselves and Jesus, Lent is a time of devoting ourselves again to God. And this year, we've put together a kind of Lent resource, which some of you might have in your hands right now. And it's designed to help us connect with the season and with the story. And in the middle page, you're going to find a number of ways to join in. They're not complicated, and they're not rules. As we said, Lent's not about hard work, it's about heart work. They're just ideas, and we're inviting you to take them and consider making them your own. The first is to put something down and to pick something up. So maybe choose something to fast, like a kind of food or a kind of activity, in order to turn your attention to God. Use that time or use that energy to read the Bible or to otherwise connect with God. Second, pray in community. Maybe add or adapt prayer in daily life with your people. Create space, maybe, around meals or as the day begins or ends, even briefly, with those around you. We could imagine perhaps praying together with our family or with our spouse, with our coworkers, maybe, or even in a life group. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to take an hour. You don't have to become a monk to pray or to read scripture. It can simply take a few moments, and it can make a real difference. Maybe we've never prayed with our family before. Lent is a great time to try it out. Maybe we've never prayed with our roommate before. Lent's a great time to maybe establish a rhythm together. Maybe we've never prayed with our spouse before. What would it look like in this season leading up to Easter to try doing that one with the other? Third, read the story. So choose to read one of the Gospels during Lent, immersing yourself in Jesus' story. You could read the Gospel of Mark, which is 16 chapters long, over 16 days. You could read John over 21 days. You could read Luke over 24 days. You could read Matthew over 28 days. And as you're doing that, you could ask the questions, where is Jesus in this story? Why is Jesus doing what he's doing in this story? Where am I in this story? What characters do I identify with? Where do I find myself in the middle of this? I'm, for example, reading the Gospel of Mark. One of the reasons is it's the shortest. And you'd think that Luke would be my favorite, but I think Mark might be my favorite. And it's a chance to spend some time in there and to just immerse myself in a story before Easter. Fourth and finally, don't forget to party. If you're fasting something, consider breaking that fast on Sunday, which is a really wonderful Lenten tradition. For example, if you're not eating kind of chocolate at Lent, enjoy some on a Sunday. And this helps us to remind us that even in a time of refining, the gospel is good news, and it always ends up leading us into celebration. Sundays are always, in a sense, a resurrection celebration. And when we do this, we remind ourselves at the same time that what we're lenting, what we're letting go of, what we're fasting is not necessarily bad. It's just finding its place in relationship to God. And you know what? It's not about getting all of this 100% right. For example, I'm fasting something, and I think we're only a few days into Lent. It started last Wednesday, and I've already fallen off the wagon like three times. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But it's an opportunity to move a little closer, to give ourselves a little more time and space with God when we do. So those are some ideas. Try them all. Try one or two. Try them over the whole season leading up to Easter. Try them maybe just for a week or two, if that seems a bit too much. You can also go online. We've put a bunch of resources on our website as well. Maybe some Bible reading guides, some ideas of how to pray. And we've done a whole bunch of work, actually, for families. So if you have little ones, you're going to find some resources that kids can connect with. And you can connect with them together. There's resources for babies and toddlers and kids as they get older as well. At its core, Lent is about giving God even just the slightest chance to work in us. And on Sundays, as we come together leading up to Easter, we're going to be looking at themes that are traditionally connected to Lent and to the cross. So next week, we're going to hear Rebecca share about the cross and prayer. We're going to talk about the cross and failure, the cross and grief and loss. We're going to talk about the cross and forgiveness. So these are maybe unsettling discussions, but discussions of depth and of healing nonetheless. I didn't get a chance to join in with that Easter play as a child when I got the chicken pox. I missed out. But I did, a number of years later, get to participate as a teenager. I got to join in, and I played a Roman soldier, you know, obviously. And I had the crimson skirt and everything. And my job was to hold back the crowds at Jesus' crucifixion. I got up close and personal, you could say, with the story. And Lent is a season which ensures that we don't miss out on Jesus' story, but instead find ourselves up close and personal with God. So as we head toward Easter, and that splintery cross comes increasingly into view, what can we expect to happen if we do join in? What happens when we get up close and personal with the God of Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Spoiler alert, I think we're going to find our feet being washed. I think we'll find our wounds being healed. I think we'll find our prayers being listened to, our failures being forgotten. I think we'll find our lives by letting go of control of them. I think we'll find ourselves being loved. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and alive to what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Going to ask Kirsten to join us on the stage. Kirsten's on our leadership council. And I've asked if Kirsten would pray over us this morning as we begin, in a sense, this season of Lent. It did begin last Wednesday. This is our first Sunday together. So maybe we could stand together if you're able. And Kirsten, would you pray over us today? Yeah.
I know that when Rachel did this in the first service, she started with just a few moments of silence. And I can't think of a better way for us to start today before I pray. So I'm just going to, let's just close our eyes and let the scripture that we've looked at today wash over us and leave some space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord Jesus, as a community, we invite you in. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to search us. Would you search us and show us our hearts? Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to come again as your children, and know that that is first and foremost who we are. Would you show us the things that, the ways that we are pretending, show us the masks that we're wearing. And I pray that you would help us to come more fully as we truly are into your presence. Lord Jesus, would you show us the things that are distracting us and help us to lay those down. And Lord Jesus, we know that you want us to enter into this story that is our story. It's our identity. And I pray that you would help us to enter into the cross, into the fact that our salvation cost you something. Lord Jesus, help us to enter into the fact that you invite us to share in your suffering, as well as sharing in your resurrection. And Lord Jesus, would this be a time where that becomes more real to us? Because in reality, it is more our story than the lives that we're living, and it shapes the lives we live. And so we just invite you, Holy Spirit, please just come. Come and help us in these next 4-5 weeks, Lord, to enter into that story so that we can fully enter into your resurrection at Easter. Prepare our hearts and make help us to become more fully immersed in our identity that we are your kids, that we belong to you, and that that is first and foremost who we are. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to make this a deeply meaningful season. Would you align our hearts with your will? We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Kirsten. If you didn't get one of these on your seat, then our host team have them available for you as you leave today. And thanks for joining us today. May you have a great rest of your Sunday and a fantastic rest of your week. We'll see you next week, if not before.